I love messing with people. But disagree with me anyway. We might as well enjoy it, amen? We might as well laugh about it. But I realize it's fall break too, so that's probably what's going on just a little bit. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I want you to turn with me in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Started in on Wednesday night. For some time we've been dealing with those that had a great faith that's mentioned in God's Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 1, many people, when people ask to just give a definition of faith, often Hebrews 11, 1 is their answer. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe that's God's description of faith. Definition is found throughout chapter 11, and you'll find that the definition of faith was those that heard the Word of God, believed the Word of God, and obeyed the Word of God. That's pretty simple. We want to complicate things. I'm a simple guy. My thinking's not too complicated. You hang around me, and I keep it pretty simple. Live by the KISS rule. Keep it simple, stupid. Works for me. But you'll find all through, everybody here that was challenged by God responded in obedient faith and did what God told them to do, and therefore God placed them in His Hall of Fame. The Bible mentions several people. Starts with Abel. Then not only mentioned Abel, it mentioned Enoch, who walked with God and was not found, for God translated him. It mentioned Noah. Noah was a man that lived during a very perverted time, but yet God used him to be a witness, to be a bright and shining light. People said Noah didn't have much success 100 years preaching the Word of God and very few converts. Well, let me just say to you one thing Noah did. He got his family in, amen? He got his family in the ark, and from that, everybody that's in the world come from Noah's descendants. And from that, may I say to you, everybody that's been saved by the grace of God ought to rejoice in the fact that Noah was very prolific with his family. Amen? So there's something we can rejoice in. But the Bible mentions another man by the name of Abraham. You'll find that when you get to Hebrews chapter 11, we don't have time to hit every aspect of Abraham's life, but almost a third of the book of Hebrews chapter 11, almost a third of that chapter is dedicated to either Abraham, Isaac, or Sarah. Now, that was Abraham's immediate family. And about a third of the chapter, when it regards the heroes of the faith, is given to them. Now, I don't have time. I'm not planning on... I've done preach through the life of Abraham. But I want to say to you, that's something significant. In fact, you'll find that the Jewish people revere Abraham more than they even do Moses. They revere him. Even Muslims will revere Abraham. Christians revere Abraham. May I say to you, you'll find here that God has much to say about Abraham. Now, what we talked about Wednesday night was the very fact that God wanted to display Abraham. It's evident in Hebrews 11. It talks about all the heroes of the faith and the great saints of old and how they lived their life and how they conquered for God, how they had victory for God. One of the things that you'll find is that he wanted to display Abraham to the world almost to show him off. Now, before God did that, though, he had to develop Abraham. Abraham, we think of him most often as an aged man dragging a young boy up the side of a mountain to do sacrifice. We think Abraham and Isaac, and it comes to that term. But may I say to you, there's more to it than just that. Long before Abraham was called upon to take his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, God spent many years preparing Abraham's heart and his mind and his faith, his growth and development. See, God was developing him into someone that he could display before the whole world. A vessel of honor that God could say, there is my friend. And may I say to you, Abraham was the friend of God. So we'll find in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll look with me, in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac,
that he should receive the promises, offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From hence also he received him in a figure. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this book. Thankful for the Word of God. Thankful for this opportunity to stand here. God, we're truly grateful, God, that we have the account of Abraham's life, that it's displayed before us. God, help us as your people to have faith, be able to trust you even when it doesn't make sense. Be able to trust you when we're in the dark. Be able to trust you when it's scary. Help us to trust you knowing that you have great plans for us, knowing that all things work together for our good and for your glory. God, help us to be steadfast in our faith in your Word. And God, may we live our lives in such a way that you can display us before a lost and dying world, that they may see us as genuine, they may see us as real. And God, may we have an impact as Abraham had an impact. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you look in the pages of the Word of God, what's amazing to me, he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Now, I want to say to you, Abraham had been tried many times. Many times in the pages of Scripture, God had developed his faith, not at one moment of time, but through many moments of times. I believe that Abraham's life was a life that was basically based in a laboratory of faith. Now you'll find God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, did he not? He was to leave his homeland. He was to go to a land he'd never seen. He didn't know exactly where he's going. He's just following God. He's to leave everybody behind. He's to leave security behind, comforts behind. And that's what Abraham does. When he gets there, there's challenges there. There's enemies in the land. There's foes in the land. There's a famine in the land. I mean, it's easy to desert, but Abraham doesn't do that. He sticks with it. Amen. Now, he has to develop some because he made some mistakes along the way. He retreated to Egypt for a while, went there to sojourn, but God brought him out. And you know what I believe? I believe God's people make mistakes along the way if they're one of God's people. Amen. I believe they make mistakes, but I tell you what God does. God brings them out. Amen. He'll bring them out. People say, Brother Grant, you believe someone gets saved, can do certain things? Yeah, I believe they can, but I believe God will take them behind the woodshed. Listen, them boys of mine, Isaac and Andrew and Eli, let me tell you, they're my children. They do some dumb things that I don't approve of, but you know, I don't disown them. I just whoop the fire out of them until they start doing what I want them to do. I mean, Eli didn't like his clothes. I hate these clothes this morning. Didn't you, Eli? Huh? You did. Let me tell you why, because he wasn't a green Spider-Man shirt that he wore for 4 days in a row that his mama had bought him. And so, I mean, we had a fight this morning to get out of the door, and I wasn't in the mood to fight. But you know what, I tell you what, suddenly he had a different attitude about getting in that van after about the third time. Go around, amen. I can't even count now. The third time. Amen. That's what happens when you're sleep deprived. Am I preaching about Abraham? I'll end up preaching about somebody else. Anyway, but I mean, you know what? God take you behind the woodshed line. Yeah. God called him out. And then you'll find that not only did he have that mistake, but then him and his nephew, whom he loved, they departed ways. Lot went down to a wicked, wicked city. And Abraham tried to lead him right, teach him right. It no doubt broke Abraham's heart. Abraham had to rescue him. And hazarded his own life all this time. You know what God's doing? He's developing his life. Abraham made some more mistakes. God said, I'm going to give you a child. His seed will be like the stars of the sky, like the sand of the seashore. You know, he didn't put production in his own hands. He went about, and his wife said, here's my handmaiden. Her name was Hagar. He lay with her, had a baby. It was a socially accepted custom that day. But listen, that was man's production. That was man taking things in his own hand. God's plan was different than man's ideas and the way man tries to get things done. You realize in our churches oftentimes we think the ends or the justify the means. That's not the way God sees it. God says this is how I want things done. You do it my way and I'll bless you. But you see, we're so preoccupied with having the appearance of success that we'll do anything to get that appearance, even if it comes to a place where we disregard God's plan and do it our own way. Say amen to me. Man, you all getting quiet? I had to come down here and sit next to you. Look around. Somebody looks like they're asleep. Just come plop down next to them. And I say to you, why Abraham, the whole time, he's growing in faith, he's growing in faith, while these tests in his life. Now he has a child named Ishmael. They've got problems with two women fighting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a heartache that these Mormons want to be married to three, four wives? You say, what do you think about it? I think they're crazy. Then, Brother Grant, should they be allowed to do it? If they're dumb enough to want to do that, I say let them have at it. Amen. I mean, I'm just... that ain't the problem. The problem is they need to get born again. Huh? They see things from a different light. And I ain't talking about a Mormon born-again experience. I'm talking a Bible-based born-again experience. And you say, what are you saying? I'm saying God tests us to display us. You see, let me explain to you. The devil tests you to bring out the bad in your life, to expose the bad. God tests you to bring out the good. Now, if you take a GM vehicle, let me just tell you, and GM tests it, they're going to show you how it's safe, how fuel efficient it is, how it's a good vehicle, how it's comfortable. But you let Ralph Nader take the same vehicle, you let some tree-hugger take the same vehicle, amen, and you let them do a test on that vehicle, and they're going to show you how inefficient it is, how it's not safe, how it's bad for the environment, and how everybody ought to go to jail that drives one. Oh, don't get quiet on me. You see, both people run tests on the same thing, but they come out with different conclusions. You know what the devil does? He wants to test your life to make you fall and to fail. God wants to test you to bring out the good. And you'll find, let me move this, we're moving right on. God got to the place He wanted to test Abraham's faith, but it took years of development before Abraham's faith could ever be displayed. And that's what I want to preach on. That's basically an introduction. It's the simple fact, Abraham had a faith that could be displayed. He had a faith that you could display before the world. You'll find here in the Word of God, the test of Abraham's faith really come in Genesis 20:22. Now his faith had been tested, but there come a day, the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things, all those testings, all those trials, I mean, judgments, and you'll find that the Bible said that God did tempt Abraham, and He said unto him, Abraham, and Abraham said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son Isaac, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon the mountains. I'll tell thee, he knew what a burnt offering was. He'd been worshiping God for a long time. He'd been sacrificing to God for a long time. He'd been building altars. He'd been slaying animals, slitting their throats, letting the blood drain down. Listen, he knew. From his forefathers before him, they knew about sacrifice. They knew about how to stand before God and have something die in their place. He understood that well. But I want you to understand this. Here he was. God said, take now thy son. This was the test of Abraham's faith. I want to give you some things real quick, and I want you to pay attention. Number one, his will had to be tested. His will. Abraham had been walking for God by faith for years. Now God says, I want you to do this. Do what? Now think about this. He said, I want you to take your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. You'll find nowhere in the Scriptures that Abraham began to pray and say, God, are you sure about this? Nowhere in the Scriptures you find that Abraham delayed any whatsoever. He didn't wait a few days to mull it over. You know what the Bible says? As you read the Word of God, what you're going to find is, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and they went. You'll find his will was tested there. But not only was his will tested, I want you to see this, that he was immediately obedient. He didn't say, listen, I need to think about this, but his intellect had to be tested as well. And he said, now Brother Grant, what do you mean? How could his intellect be tested? Well, you'll find, if we read in Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 17 through 19, that somehow in his mind he was able to reconcile, if I slay him, God's going to raise him up. But you see, his intellect had to be tested. You say, what are you saying? God told him what? His descendants would be like the stars of the sky. His descendants would be like the sands of the seashore. He promised him that he was going to bless him with a great posterity. That's what he promised Abraham. Now, the Bible tells us God made these promises. And Abraham went for years, and he tried to take production in his own hand. I mean, it went for 25 years before Abraham finally received the promise that he would have a child by his wife Sarah when she was up in years, when it was impossible for a lady to be having babies. But you'll find that God gave him that child. Intellectually, finally, all the things that God had promised him, the land he brought him to, God had blessed him financially. God had blessed him with cattle. God had blessed him with success and everything he'd done. And finally, he had this child. And now this child has grew up. Probably it's about a 30-year-old man. Or, I don't know, 25 to 30, I don't know, somewhere in that range. And he's a young man, and God says, I want you to slay him. I got news for you. God was asking him to do something that made no sense at all. You ever thought about that? Didn't make a lick of sense what God was asking him. This is a test of his faith. His intellect said, but his emotion had to be attested as well. See what he means, emotion is tested. You imagine God looks at you, Brother Gary, and says, I want you to take Clayton, and I want you to take him, and I want you, it's not slaying, but give him up for adoption. I want you to just take him, find somebody don't have a baby. I want you to give it to him. Boy, wouldn't that be a test? Huh? You imagine God? I couldn't imagine God saying something like that. Could you? I couldn't imagine God coming to me and say, Grant, you need to choose one of your boys to go stay with someone else and maybe even a family member in some other state. Just choose one of them. Man, I want to tell you what. Emotionally. I couldn't believe God asked me to do something like that. But God asked something greater than that from Abraham, did he not? Can you imagine how he was devastated? He was devastated beyond means. And let me just tell you something. Not only his will, his intellect, his emotion, and we see the test of his faith, but notice the trial of his faith. The Bible says, as you begin to look in chapter 22, verses 4 through 9, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. He sees the place that God tells him to take his son. And the Bible says, and Abram said to the young men, abide you here with the ass, and I and the lamb will go yonder and worship. Notice his faith, and come again to you. Boy, he had faith, didn't he? That's what it said in the book of Hebrews. He somehow put it together. God, if he had slain, God was going to raise him up, and they were going to come back. Man, that's faith there. But I want you to notice the trial of his faith. I want you to notice the length of the trial. The Bible tells us that it went 3 days, did it not? They traveled for 3 days. I believe as he traveled and he walked down the coast, he looked down and he'd see the sand. He said, God, this don't make sense. God, I'm going to obey. I'm going to trust you anyway. Now, I'm talking about the time. You know, he'd go to bed at night and he'd look out and they'd all camp around. Everybody's talking, have a good time. They just know they're going somewhere to worship. He looks up and he sees the stars. Don't you think it broke his heart? You know what? I bet Abraham said, I wish if I'm going to have to do this, I wish I could just go ahead and do it now. Huh? I wish I'd go ahead and get it over with now. Rather than it be in my head and my mind for 3 days. Because let me tell you what I think happened. For 3 days, he slew his son Isaac probably over 100 times in his mind. For 3 days, it just kept going over and knowing he was having to keep it all together. Be stoic in the whole time that he's doing that. Man, I want to tell you, sometimes it's not the test itself that's so difficult. Sometimes it's the weight that's difficult. Not knowing the answer, not knowing how God's going to intervene, not knowing what God's going to do, if He's going to intervene at all. Listen, I got news for you, friend. And you say, I don't understand that. Well, you get sick and then have to go to the doctor and get tested and you're standing around waiting and wondering what the answer is. Then you'll find out in a hurry that it's not necessarily that the diagnosis that's so bad, but it's the weight that's so bad. Let me say to you, not only was we think of the length of the trial, think of the loneliness of the trial. Now, the Bible tells us, as you read here, what's amazing to me. Whole time they travel for 3 days. Notice what Abraham says. Abide ye here at the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now, I'm talking about the loneliness. You want me to tell you what happens? I and the lad are going to go up the air and worship. You stay here. You realize for 3 days Abraham has told nobody what God has asked him to do? 3 days. Loneliness. You know what? When I get under pressure and I get under trials, sometimes, man, I'm telling you, I just want to pick up phone and call somebody and just unload on them. Amen? Have you ever wanted to do that? Have you ever done that? I have. I mean, just unload. Just unload your wagon. I mean, I can't handle it no more. Here it is. I got news for you. Through the most difficult time in his life, Abraham had no one he could talk to. He didn't tell his wife what was going on. He didn't tell the young men that's with him. And he certainly didn't tell Isaac what was going on until they headed up the mountain. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this to you. I want you to understand that sometimes that we have trials in our life And what we learn is that there's only one person that we can talk to. There's only one person we can go to because no one else understands. No one else will get it. No one else can even begin to grasp what we're going through. But I want you to think not only the loneliness, the loftiness of this trial, because the Bible, if you read there very carefully, what you're going to find is that He said that me and the lad will go up yonder and we'll worship and come again. You'll find all through the Scriptures it speaks of sacrifice, animals being slayed, and so forth. But this is the first time that worship is used, the word worship. First time. You want me to tell you what? Some people, when they go through the trials of their life, they just see the heartache, they just see the pain, they just see the suffering, they just see the sacrifice, but they never see the worship, what God wants to come out of our hearts. And I promise you, if God sends us to trials, it's because He's trying to do something in our heart. He is trying to draw us closer to Him. Trials may be difficult, but brother, if it brings us closer to God, it's a good thing. Let me give you this number three, and I'm going to get right to the application. Number three, you see the triumph of Abraham's faith. Because in verse 10, boy, you love this, you see the silence is broken. Abraham stretched forth his hand. I believe He got above that boy, laid him in. And by the way, let me tell you, that what a picture of God the Father, God the Son. Amen, right there. Because that boy, if he's 24, if he's 27, I promise you he can whoop a 130-year-old man. Huh? He laid down his life, he submitted his life, just like the Son of God laid Himself down on Calvary. And by the way, Mount Moriah, the Old Testament, same place Mount Calvary is in the New Testament. And there that boy, his only son, laid down. I believe he stood above him, grabbed his hair, stuck the knife. You see these pictures, they're going to bludgeon him to death. I've never seen a sacrifice they've got above any a camel or a calf, and they stabbed it to death. That's the dumbest thing I've seen. They pull their neck back, stretch the jugular vein, put the knife, and slice that thing, and the blood would gush out, and that'd be it. I believe God waited. The silence, thank God, was broken, but God waited until He grabbed the knife, put it to His throat, and suddenly there was silence that was broken from heaven. And the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord said, "Abraham, Abraham!" He said, "Here am I." He said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Man, and you know what? Not only was their silence broken, but there was a solution given. What was the solution? The Bible says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. He said, "Man, what's that a picture of?" Well, I'm no dummy. I might have been born in Wayne County and raised in Bronston, but you listen to me, I know what a thicket is, and it's a thorn thicket. Huh? He looked, and there's a ram, and his head was stuck in a thicket. Stuck in a thorn, that's what I think. I don't. You say, "Brother Grant, can you prove it?" I can't prove it, but I tell you, I've got more Bible on it than you do. There's not. Because I tell you what, there come a day when you always said, Jehovah Jireh, that's what He's celebrating, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen or revealed. I believe he looked down through the portals of time, he saw another lamb, and guess what? His head was stuck in a thicket too. And he wasn't up on an altar, he was up on a cross. And the Bible tells us that God had a solution there. He provided a ram. And I'm so thankful that God has provided a solution for our troubles, our heartaches yet today. You say, what's the lesson? What's the lesson of Abraham's faith? How did God display Him? How can God display our faith? I believe if we want God to display our faith, three things that's imperative for us to learn. Number one, listen to me, and this be real quick, but I think we need to get it, every one of us, God's people. We don't have to understand what God wants us to do in order for us to say yes to Him. Now think about that. Abraham didn't understand what God wanted him to do, but yet he said yes. And I believe that's how he landed in God's Hall of Fame of faith. He didn't question, he didn't argue, he didn't dispute, he didn't understand. Let me tell you, I find problems with a lot of God's people, and a lot, like they'll never step out by faith and do anything because they say, "I just don't understand how God can make help me meet the means. How I'm going to come up with the means to do this? How am I going to have the ability to do this? I don't know how to do this." But yet God calls them. You know what they do? They sit in a pew. Listen, I got news for you. It may not make sense. You don't have to understand what God wants you to do in order to say yes to Him. How in God's name can anybody slay their son? Yet he responded by obedience. Not everything that God asks of us, listen to me, will make sense. I learned many things in my life. Things that God's asked me to do and required of me to do. and expected me to do, all my logic, all my reason I could put behind it, I said, God has to be wrong.
But you know, the truth of the matter is that it's not a matter about whether we think it's logical or illogical. The truth of the matter, His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are greater than my thoughts. He's the very God that spoke the world into existence. He's the one that knows our beginning. He's the one that knows our end. I mean, He's from eternity past to eternity future. He's eternal. He don't see part of the picture. He sees the whole picture. God knows what He is doing. I want you to understand, let me give you this. Not only, you see, when things don't make sense, that goes against our will because we want to do it our way. Sometimes things God asks us to do is illogical. That goes against our intellect. We say, God, listen, I'm trying to figure it up right now. I know some people, God, that called the mission field I've talked to, and they said their biggest struggle for years was, God, how can we raise support? God, how can we get there and find a place? God, how can we do this? How can we manage the things with our family over there? I mean, they had all kinds of problems, you see, and intellectually it didn't make sense, but yet God called them. And they went. And God provided. Let me just say this to you. It may be a little, but we can't allow our emotions to dictate how and when to follow God. If Abraham allowed his emotions to get in the way, he would never took Isaac to Mount Moriah. Let me give you this number two. Number two is this. Sometimes we have trials and burdens that cannot be shared with anyone. Let me tell you why that is. You may be going through some things in your life this morning. Abraham went 3 days. I believe it aided him. I believe he saw the blood gush from Isaac hundreds of times in his mind. I believe he thought how he was going to explain things to Sarah when he went back. I believe he wrestled with all those things. I believe he believed God by the time that he got to Mount Moriah. He figured out somehow God was going to raise him up if he slayed him. But I want to tell you what, if there is to be faith, there must be an element of doubt. One of the biggest lies we hear is this. Oh, if you have true faith, there is no doubt. Now, wait a minute. Faith is being obedient to what God told you to do. Faith is not having doubt. Huh? You read through the pages of Scriptures and you're going to find that sometimes God's people, they had courage to be obedient even when it didn't make sense, even when they were scared. So what we'll find is that, I got news for you, there were some burdens sometimes we face and trials we'll go through that there's no one that we can talk to because we're sure they don't understand where we're coming from. I want to tell you why God allows that to happen in our life. It's because it's during those times we have to go to God. It's during those times we have to communicate to Him because there's only one person that gets us. There's only one person that understands us. There's only one person we can call on and unload a wagon. You know what happens that time? Our relationship gets closer to God then than it has ever been. So we need some of those times in our life. But let me give you this number three, and I'm done. We can look at our trials as something grievous to bear, and we can look at it as something that can lead us to victory. You see, the difference was, Abraham didn't say we're just going to go sacrifice. He said we're going to go worship. We're going to worship. He knew that when he got done, there was going to be triumph in this thing. He knew he was going to be able to come back down the hill celebrating God's power, God's majesty, God's glory in his life. He knew that he was on the winning side. Man, through all our heartaches, all our trials, I want to tell you one thing we can be certain of. We, as God's people, are on the winning side. I like Romans 8:28. Makes it very clear to every one of us that all things work together for good. For them that love God are called according to His purpose. He works it all together for good and for His glory. And I'm so thankful for that. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I don't know what people are going through this morning. I don't know what trials they're facing. I don't know what objects they got in their life. Maybe they're questioning their intellect and their emotion about, and they don't want to be obedient because of what's before them, what You're asking them to do. God, help them to understand it's not about their emotion. It's not about trying to make things sound logical in their heart. It's about surrendering their will in obedience with Your will. Maybe there's someone here this morning, there's some trial before them and it's greater than they can possibly understand. They're lonely right now. Right now they're scared. Right now they're
they're at a place that things are going over, they're replaying over and over in their mind. May they understand this morning that you have a heavenly solution for them. It may not show up today. It may not be tomorrow. But when the time is right, you'll be there. God, help us to have confidence in this. Now I ask every head to remain bowed. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, when you raise your hand and say, "Brother Grant, pray for me, I know that if I was to die, I'd not go to heaven." Anybody here courageous enough to do that? Anybody here, you say, "Brother Grant, pray for me, and there's a trial I'm going through right now. Scope of it, I can't even begin to share." God bless. Is anybody else to be honest enough to say, "Brother Grant, God bless you that"? Is there others? Say, "Brother Grant, there's some things I'm going through in my life right now that I don't know how to deal with." All right, anyone? God bless you that. Maybe you're here this morning, God's wanting you to do something. You know what it is, but you can't make sense of it. It doesn't make sense to you that God would have you do that. Maybe this morning you'd like to say, "Brother Grant, pray for me because there's something God wants me to do that I'm not doing." God bless, I see that. Anyone else? It don't make sense. It don't make a bit of sense, but I need to be obedient. Anyone else? All right, Father, this is your invitation. It's not about my glory, it's about yours. And God, we just ask that you would bless this time. May we be sincere. May it be the most serious time of church. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.